Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Cock of the Walk podcast, brought to you by Win or Die Sports. This is Wesley Burris and my co-host Taylor Griggs, and today we're going to bring you, I guess we could kind of call it the keys to success for the Gamecocks this season. So we're going to go over, the key Gamecocks. I think all of you know that. Go over a few stats here real quick, talk about them, kind of expand upon what we see and what we think can happen. Maybe talk about some newer guys coming in, where they fit in the grand scheme of things, what we've heard from the coaches and all that stuff the last little bit. And last episode, we left you off with the SEC West preview. So today, like I said, what we're going to do, kind of go over where everybody fits and then kind of get into the schedule again, because I'd like to go a little bit more in-depth than that and maybe do a sort of some more predictions, but kind of tell you what to look out for each game from what we know right now, because that's going to change week to week. And got Coastal coming up. That's going to be almost not – it's within 2 weeks now. So by the time this episode drops, you're going to be about 12 days out, 13 days out. And that's going to be – I'm looking forward to it. I'm ready for football season. And that's not a game to take lightly. And so far, we're going to preview that next week in depth. And that's how we're going to format this going forward. And I'm stumbling over my words here, but whatever. We were debating even doing one of these or not, but I decided to throw this out there. And moving forward, we will get more into it'll be a week-to-week thing, what's coming up next. And then once we get into the season and have a game or two under our belt, then we'll talk about the previous week as well. So that's what you have to look forward to today, Taylor. I just want to get into – we'll talk about the offense. I'll mention some numbers here, and we'll briefly go over everybody, your thoughts with mine, to see where we are, where the Gamecocks are going into the 2018 football season. So I guess when you talk about key Gamecocks, you have to mention Will Muschamp and the staff that he's put together. I think he's been a great hire. Absolutely has improved the football team, and from year to year, came in after a mess of a 3-9 season, really cleaned up and had a nice recruiting class, all things considered. And in 2 years, he's 15-11, which doesn't sound that great, but you know what? He went 6-7 the first year with a bunch of young guys. Basically had to totally clean house, had a few veterans back that contributed, but a lot of guys on the offensive side of the ball were very new, and it's been a build. So last year we go 9-4, and I have been sort of negative a little bit to some of my Gamecock buddies and on the podcast as well, where did we win a ton of big games? No, we didn't. We've lost some tough ones the last couple years that I think we could have had. But if you go back, and I actually went and watched that entire Texas A&M game again the other day, because this guy put it up on YouTube in 31 minutes. You can watch the entire game. It's worth going and looking at. There's a couple other ones on there as well from the last couple years where they really condensed this thing down. You just see the plays. That's a game we just let get away. And that's a game on the road in a hostile environment that the Tigers are going to have to visit this year with a new coach, and don't really know what's going to go on there. But that was interesting to go back and watch it and see where we were. But getting ahead, moving ahead, I should say. Of course, the key Gamecocks, Muschamp and his staff. We have a new offensive coordinator, got a new offensive consultant, Werner, and McClendon, an offensive coordinator that I think they keep saying we're going to run about, I'm hearing anything from like 70-80% up-tempo, whatnot. We'll slow it down sometimes. I think they're kind of trying to mask the overall thing, but they're teaching a lot of young guys right now, and there's a lot of information that these guys have to process because things are changing. Now, I don't think that they're wholesale changing our big plays, our bread and butter plays, I should say, that I don't think we're changing that. And I think that's going to – I want to see an improvement in the damn running game, and we'll get into that in just a second. I think the passing game, it has to improve, obviously, but I think the run game with the offensive line returning pretty much everybody and just got a bunch of big bodies up there and versatile guys. So getting right into it, Jake had 2,794 passing yards last year, 18 touchdowns and 12 picks. Right there, what jumps out at you? He's got to clean up the picks.
Yeah.
Got to cut down on the mistakes. He needs to hit more deep balls. There's some passes sometimes I feel like they just kind of sail on him. He gets happy feet sometimes. I've heard nothing but positive things about Jake from the coaching staff. Now, obviously, you know, somebody from the outside looking in would say, well, yeah, that's just coach speak. But Jake is a very talented guy, has a big arm. He's got all the tools. I think the one thing that has been questioned, we mentioned this on our very first podcast, was what's between the ears. And I think he's very football smart. I think he's savvy. And I think he's a winner. I do. I think he's had some bad games against great competition when he's had to go up against like Clemson's D-line, for instance. And I hate to rub that sore spot, but that's just – it's facts are facts. And he hasn't had good games against that. But then against Michigan, where he gets banged up and or gets hit and roughed up and rushed – early in the game, he turns things around in the second half and makes a bunch of plays. Now, he's got a ton of guys to throw to, Taylor. But what I want to get into first, besides Jake, and I think, you know, mentioning Jake, I hear nothing but good things about Skarnecki as well. I mean, Muschamp mentioned the other day that they can win with him, and that was his actual quote. He believes they can win with Skarnecki as the backup. We'll see what Urich and DeCarrion Joyner bring to the table. I know that they're going to be in the mix because of their athleticism, but at the quarterback position, I want to see Jake healthy, and I want to see him be the leader of this team. Just cut down on the picks. We need a few more touchdowns. We need a few more big plays from Jake, and I think we have the potential to get there. I honestly do. I think this offense could hum along. I know I was a little bit negative picking the wins and losses on an earlier episode, but I'm going to kind of dissect that a little bit more today. Behind Jake, I think we really need the running back position to shine a little bit more this year. It makes it easier for him to make plays. Don't you agree?
Yeah.
I mean, Rico is the guy that we both think and the coaches believe is the stalwart back there. He's the guy that can really be the every down back you need. But Tyson Williams showed flashes of brilliance last year. Rico only appeared in a few games, had 251 yards and two touchdowns. Tyson had 471 yards, only had one touchdown, but did average 5 yards a carry. So, overall, Tyson was way more productive, but he had a bigger role, and he split time with A.J. Turner, who's probably our most versatile back because A.J.'s only like a buck 95, but he can block. He knows the scheme. He's in the right place. Muschamp on his Saturday presser or whatever that I listened to yesterday, excuse me, he said that, you know, A.J. is probably the most dangerous guy in their kick return coverage and punt return coverage. He's one of their best guys there that can get to the guy, stay in his lane, and make a tackle. So A.J. has been a special teams player, a contributor for the Gamecocks for years. He did nothing but praise that man, and he said he thinks A.J. finds his way on the field on Sundays because of what he's shown in the special teams game as well as what he's shown. And that remains to be seen. I'm not trying to – but that's the kind of guy – that a coach really loves is a guy that goes out there and just works hard. So I think the running back position, also Mon Denson coming in to relieve these three guys, I think we're pretty deep there, but we need more production. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah.
I think the line, which is what I'm going to get into next really quick before we talk about the studs at wide receiver, I think the line looks really solid. I hear good things. Zach Bailey is a mauler. He's going to probably play mostly at guard. He's moved around. Donnell Stanley has been versatile on the offensive line. He's played tackle. He's played guard. Dennis Daly, same thing, versatile. He's going to probably play center. These are guys that can move around. They're all big, long arms. This is what you want with linemen, especially with like Zach Bailey. There's long arms. And this is – they're just prototype offensive linemen. And it finally looks like we've got those offensive linemen that we had under the successful years at Spurrier. That's what it looks like to me. Now, in the return game, two guys we're going to mention with the wide receivers. I've heard, I mean, Brian Edwards is going to be – he's your punt returner now. For whatever reason, they think, I guess, the sure hands, and he's made some guys miss here and there. That kind of worries me a little bit because he is such a big play threat at wide receiver with 64 catches. I think he was like third or fourth in the SEC in catches. 793 yards. That was 12.4 a catch. And 5 touchdowns. That's not a guy I really want to get hurt in the return game, but I think it's more not about the explosiveness in the return game, but about catching the damn ball. In the punt game, I think that's more important than pretty much anything.
Yeah.
Now, the kick return game, that's going to be Debo. A couple other guys have shown that they can do that. AJ will be in the mix there, I'm sure, as well. And the interesting thing about Debo, I mean, he ran two back last year. And you remember those. He only played in 2.5 games. He had the big catch against Kentucky. 5 touchdowns in those 2.5 games he played. Now, I don't even think it was 2.5 games. I think he got hurt in the first quarter, I believe, against Kentucky. I could be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure. And he just looked explosive. He's that type of guy you want on the field. They've been limiting his reps in practice. So they've been holding him back and making sure that guys know, okay, this number of plays, Debo's been out there, let's pull him out. Because his first year, hamstring issues. His next year, hamstring issues. You know, last year, you know. So we've got to make sure we keep Debo healthy. He's a vital part of this offense. And not to say that he has to be out there. Yes, if South Carolina wants to be a 9, 10, 11-win football team, if they want to contend in the East, Debo Samuel needs to be on the field for the majority of the season, if not the whole season. Would you agree with that?
Yep. Playmakers.
Absolutely. And Brian Edwards, to compliment a guy like him, who's an NFL prototype wide receiver, big guy, can run, can make all the catches, can jump, can make freak catches in the back of the end zone, stuff like that. You know, he's just what every team wants. He's a freak. And you got Ortre and Shy and newcomers like Josh Van who are going to push, and Van also in the return game from what I'm hearing. They're going to give him a look there as we move along. And I just think that pretty much just real quick, I want to ask you, what do you look for out of the offense off the top of your head? What do you look for this year that you want to see in the game? Maybe not necessarily against Coastal, but I think we need to take Coastal seriously. But you can't show everything in that game because you do have Georgia the next week.
Long plays.
You want the deep ball.
I want big, explosive plays.
You see, and Warner is this exactly what he's been talking about. We've got to hit more deep balls. And Muschamp reiterated that this past weekend. We've got to hit more deep balls because they're there.
Yeah.
They're seeing them on film. They're there, and they weren't hit last year. So that was a big thing Spurrier would get. Spurrier has nothing to do with his football program anymore. I mean, a few of these guys are his kids. You know, some of the guys are guys that he helped recruit or set the foundation for. But he's not nothing to do with this program. But just using him as a reference point, he would always complain when he'd go back and watch film and see you not hit that deep ball. Yeah, you made this throw, and that was a nice throw, but you had a wide-open post, you know, for a touchdown. That stuff bothers an offensive-minded guy. So I'm sure McClendon and Warner will touch that up. Warner has also said that McClendon's going to take care of all the play-calling duties, that he is just – you know, this is a – we mentioned this on a previous podcast. They're going to basically sit at the table like a mafia commission. But there's a Don, and that's Brian McClendon. He's the guy that's going to have the final say. All these other guys, Bobby Bentley, Werner, they're going to have input. But that's just all that they're just create. We have a creative coaching staff, I think, and we have a young, invigorating coaching staff, I believe, as a whole. That there's excitement around the Gamecock program now with you're building the facilities and everything's becoming better. Muschamp has really hit the trail hard there, and he loves to recruit. McClendon loves to recruit. T. Rob loves to recruit. These are guys that are enthusiastic about it. We have not seen that. As good as we were for a few years under Spurrier, we weren't hitting the recruiting trail the way we needed to. We really weren't. You know, Spurrier Jr. and Lorenzo Ward, those guys weren't going out there. They weren't hitting it as hard as these guys are. They sure weren't. These guys go after top dogs. Not only do they try to fill needs, they go after big-time players. On the defensive side of the ball, Taylor, I'm going to say what I think that we need guys that need to anchor the defensive line, Javon Kinlaw and Kier Thomas. They need to shore up the middle. They're both hard workers. I think that I've heard nothing but good stuff out of them. I've seen them be able to make plays, and they're both big and strong and physical. They've gotten bigger, quicker. I'm hearing nothing but good things out of Muschamp and T-Rob about these two guys up front, and I think that's where it starts in stopping the run in the SEC. If your tackles suck, you're going to have a long day every week in the SEC. It's just going to be bad every Saturday because these teams, the majority of them are going to pound the rock at you. And if they know that they can push you back like they're pushing the sled machine back, they know exactly what happens then. You give them 2-3 yard crease with these badass backs that play everywhere in this league, I mean, that turns into an 8-yard run to a 14-yard run to gone. And we can't have that. So this is where to step up. You know, T.J. Brunson is going to be the vocal leader, moving to middle linebacker. He's a pro. Well, he played middle linebacker last year as well. But he's the leader here and just big-time tackler, wraps up in position all the time, knows all the plays. As I mentioned on a previous podcast, and I hate to be, you know, just repeating myself, but he and Wonnum are two guys, and Wonnum at defensive end, that Muschamp has said, I don't have to tell them anything. Like, you know, they know it. Now it's just let them go do it. And to mention Wonnum, this guy could be just an even bigger – he's already good. He could be a big-time pass rusher. I think he's an NFL player. He was not super highly recruited. I'm sure, you know, several big schools did come after him, but he was a project guy, I guess you could say. He was somebody that they knew they needed to improve, and damn if he hasn't. And I hope he makes improvement this year from last year, but he showed spots of being a stud last year, so we need to see that again. Having a defensive end presence to me is huge, because the years we were down on defense, 2014, 2015, we couldn't get any pressure off the edge. We couldn't seal the edge. People were killing us with outside runs. It was awful. We never forced turnovers. Quarterbacks could stand back there all day. It was tough. It's tough to get off the field when that happens. So I think these defensive linemen here, and Shamik Blackshear and others that are backing these guys up, I think that they have the chance to make the back end better, because that's an area of concern for me. I think linebacker is going to be okay. I think we've got hard hitters and good tacklers there. Now, we have Rashad Fenton back in the secondary, and he's a playmaker. And Steven Montack and Jamias Williams, these are guys that have played and have contributed. But I've heard nothing from Muschamp to make me think that the corner position and the safety position is something he's extremely proud of right now. He says it's good, but we do have a lack of depth there. We've got work to do. We need young guys to step up, and we need these guys to come together, form a solid secondary, because this is – this is a key area, I think, of weakness for the defense, because I do think the D-line will take a step up and was solid last year. I think the linebackers are going to be okay even losing Sky Moore. I think we'll be fine there, because I think T.J. Brunson is that good to replace him, and may even be a better football player if that can be possible. Now, the kicking game needs to improve a hell of a lot too.
Yeah, I see he went, what, 4 for 12? Over 40 yards?
Yeah. And White, sadly, is considered the starter again, because apparently these other guys aren't doing a diddly squat in practice. So I haven't seen it. I'm just going by what Coach Muschamp has said. So Parker White's your guy. Hopefully he can improve. He says he's improved. And maybe it was just nerves sometimes. Maybe so. Maybe it's just the shanks. They say kicking's a lot like golf. You know, it's all about getting in that rhythm and doing. But, you know, these guys sit there at practice and they go and kick, what, 500 balls, 1,000 balls? Yeah. Mo, come on, man. I mean, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying I can go do it. But find somebody that can and pay them. I mean, I don't care. We've got to be able to make field goals to win ball games.
There's players on that team that could kick better, like other position players.
I'm going to disagree with you on that, because I think if they could, they'd go over there and tell them they could. I mean – and then they let them try a couple times, and they just blow the wad. But whatever. That's got to improve. We've got to be better in the kicking game. Now, Joseph Charlton at punter was pretty good. He was solid. And I think a lot of times we were in games like that A&M game that I watched the other day, like that Michigan game, where the punting game really kept us in it. Our defense played solid, and we hit good punts. That's something that's overlooked. I mean, a punter that's consistently like 40, 45, 48 yards that can go out there and he's not going to shank one or two. I mean, a guy that can do that, man, that's just as good as anything. Flipping field is very important in football. Now, where are we going after this? I think that's pretty much all the key Gamecocks, because for the most part, the guys that are going to contribute that we expect to contribute are guys that have already played. So this is a veteran team now. They were one of the youngest teams in the nation the last 2 years. Now they're a veteran team. I think we can take steps forward if the offense improves and the defense stays the same, or hopefully gets a little bit better. Man, this could be a dangerous football team. So starting with Coastal Carolina, let's run this down a little bit game by game and talk about the keys to what we think we need to do as far as what we know right now. So against the Chanticleers – opening game, and I may misspeak here, but I'm pretty sure that's a nooner here in a couple weeks. So I just think the key to that is don't go in there too cocky. Don't play too close to the hip, but let's and not show all our cards. You know what I mean. But let's go out here. Let's try to establish the run. This is a game the Gamecocks should win. I told somebody today, I don't expect an absolute rout because Coastal has a ton of talent. And I think I even wrote this down just in case. Eight offensive starters back and four on defense. Both their kickers are back. So a good group of guys back. They did lose their quarterback. So I don't really know. Hell, let me look it up real quick, what they did last year, because I should have written this down, damn it. They went 3-9. So not too great. And they didn't have – they beat Georgia, Southern Idaho, and UMass. So these are starters coming back off a team that wasn't that successful. So like I said, I expect to win this game. This is a game, if you want my prediction, I would love nothing more than us to get up 17, 21 points or so and let some backups start playing. But I know some fans disagree with that because they'll say, oh, well, you get up 21-0, you take your starters out, and all of a sudden it's 21-7, you're right back, they're right back in it, which is true. So maybe let's even put it at like a 24 or something. But I don't know if that can happen because I know sometimes the Gamecocks go out here against teams like this and win the game 38-14, but it never looks – you know, it's never just a rout like we want. Like we don't go out there and just beat these teams sometimes like 63-0 or whatever. But we have beaten teams badly before, like several years ago, Troy – comes to mind. It was like 70-20 or something. It was very, very bad, but 69-20, I think it was. That's what we want, and that's ideal. But I did mention to somebody earlier, and I got sidetracked there for a second, that I think that this is probably like a 20-point ball game, maybe 24-point type ball game, where we do give up some points. And I could see like 45-21, 45-17, 38-17. That's kind of like where I'm leaning. But I hope it's comfortable. I hope somehow we can go out there and get up, you know, 31-0, 38-0. Yeah, I'd love to see that. I hope that can happen and we get some young guys out there because we need to. And the next game after that, Taylor, Georgia coming to Columbia, is absolutely tough. And everybody knows what you're going to get with Georgia, a steady diet of the I formation. They're going to run that pro-style passing game, a lot of play action and stuff. They have speedy wide receivers. They've got it all, man. They attack you basically in a very old school manner, straight ahead, not too much trickery, not too much flash, and they try to play solid defense. They always have good kickers, punters, always have good return guys. There's a wealth of talent on that football team. They lost a lot of defensive starters. So much talent on that team, though, the number one recruiting class in the nation. Going to be tough. Some people around the country have said we're their biggest threat in the East. If the Gamecocks want to contend in the East, however, we not only do we have to beat Georgia or need to beat Georgia, and I think it's a very winnable game. Do you?
Yeah.
I think it's winnable. Now, you have to play not perfect to beat them because it's hard to play perfect against Georgia. It's hard to play perfect against an Alabama or a Clemson or somebody like that because they're so good, they're so talented. You're not going to play perfect because they're going to make you make mistakes. It's whoever makes – bottom line, whoever turns the ball over less most of the time and plays the best in the special teams and can get a ground game going, that's typically how you win. And I know I've kind of outlined several things there. That's typically how you win in football. If you can control the tempo of the game, if you can not make mistakes, you typically win or you're in ball games, even if you're outmanned. So I think Georgia's winnable. Marshall, don't really know what to think about them. They had a pretty good year last year at 8-5. Typically, they've had good offenses the last several years, and I expect nothing less. That's the type of game where I could see it being kind of a fight for a little while. Another one I think that if we play to our potential, we should win by two or three scores, you know, and that should just be the case, bottom line. To contend in the East at Vandy and at Kentucky back-to-back weeks, the 22nd of September and the 29th, those are both must-win games. If you want – to be realistic about winning the SEC East, if you lose one of those games, kiss it goodbye. Because Georgia's not going to go out here and lose four ball games. I don't think that's going to happen. It could, but I don't see it happening. So those are two must wins. Well, guess who's after that? The team that I've been predicting all offseason to beat us, get a little bit of revenge, and that's Missouri. So looking at where we are right now, it's halfway through the schedule. Where would you have us, and we've done this already, but where would you have us right now, those games I just outlined? would you have us 4-2?
Yeah.
So you'd have us losing to Georgia and Missouri?
Yes.
Do you think both of them are winnable?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I would have to agree with that. I mean, so your reason for that, why you think we would lose to Georgia and Missouri, is it strictly talent?
Partly.
Well, that's why I asked, is it strictly talent? You said partly. That's not an answer.
I mean, I don't think – then yes, I guess.
Oh, it's strictly talent. Yeah. Okay, well, thanks for talking, Taylor. We go to A&M. They make me so mad. Watching that game the other day had me furious. We should have beaten them last season. I know the year they had that little number one quarterback that ran all over us. I know they –
Kenny Trill?
No. No. Look, they've had 9 quarterbacks they've started in like the last 3 years. I want to say his name was Showers. Jameel Showers, I think was his name. Jameel Flowers, maybe. But I think it was Jameel Showers. I think that was his name. He had a good game against us, and that was Perry Orth, the mighty Perry Orth versus
– Orthquake.
Oh, my God. I mean, that was sad football times that had to be our quarterback. I just don't even want to talk about that anymore. But to be on a positive note, I think this could be the year we get A&M. It's at home. I'm going to call it. I'm going to change my view. I've said at this point in time we could just be beat to hell because Georgia, Marshall, Vandy, Kentucky, Missouri, two of those being on the road, that's a tough little stretch of games for us. It is because we are still unproven. You could talk about all the talent you want, but we're still unproven. Tennessee, I think, is a win. That's at home. And I think the Vols are just down. I think they could be a little bit better this year. I think we'll be better too. At Ole Miss, we both said was a big trap game. That's between Tennessee and Florida. And you're at Ole Miss and then at Florida. We called Ole Miss a loss. I definitely think we can win. I don't want to sound like just an absolute pessimist on this thing. But I think the keys to winning these games, which I kind of got sidetracked on, Marshall, don't play too big. You know, for your britches, just play your game, stay in your lane. You've got better talent. We should win. At Vandy and Kentucky, I feel the same way, but don't get lost in if we've somehow beaten Georgia at this point in time, don't get lost in that or trapped in that, I should say, that and not allow yourself to move forward and have a slip up against Marshall, Vandy, or Kentucky because we're better than those three teams. Kentucky's been better than us in the win column 4 straight years. I'm sick of it. It's time to end that. Missouri, again, that's a toss-up. A&M, Tennessee. All of those, I think the key to Missouri is just you have to play, you have to score points to be able to beat them. We did that last year and stopped them in the second half. The key to A&M is the same thing. We have to stop the ground game. Jimbo Fisher's going to love to run the ball. Ton of athletic quarterbacks there. Ton of athletes at wide receiver, skill positions. Tennessee, we just have to control the tempo of the game and be better. And at Ole Miss, I think, again, you just have to go. Don't lose your head. It's on the road. Don't look ahead to Florida in case they're improved under Dan Mullen, which I expect them to be. I don't know how much. And I think we're about – maybe we have more talent than Ole Miss. I don't really think so. I think we're about the same as far as talent level, as far as a perception we're perceived to have more talent, but I don't really know. And Florida, I don't think we have more defensive talent. I think we definitely have more offensive talent, and that's a crazy game. I don't even know if I really want to predict this because we just don't know. There's so much uncertainty. But finishing up with the mocks at home and then at Clemson, I think Chattanooga, you should say, even with even if we're banged up, we should be able to beat them at Clemson. I think that's just – it's too daunting a task, and especially right now, saying everything goes according to plan, everybody's healthy. I don't really know how you'd call the Gamecocks breaking the streak against the Tigers this year. I sure as hell hope it happens by hook or by crook. Somehow I hope it happens, but I don't know. So the key to that, obviously, is we just have to be super healthy at that point in time, hope they're banged up a little bit because they're immensely talented, and just hope for the best, man. But I am very optimistic about the Gamecocks season here in 2018, even if it is cautiously. So, Taylor, I think now I can just go through really quick. I think there are several games, obviously circumstances we don't know could come into play that we could lose. games that we could win that I may feel that we would lose, but I think there is a chance, honestly, to win all of these games. I do. I know that's probably not going to happen. I don't foresee us going 12-0 and making it to Atlanta. I do think we can get to Atlanta, but we need a lot of big things to happen, and we just need to take care of business. You cannot – I think these four road games, Vandy, Kentucky, Ole Miss, and Florida in the conference, we have to win three of those to win the East in my mind, and you're going to need to probably beat two of the three out of A&M, Missouri, and Georgia. So win at least two out of those three big home SEC games and win three of the four on the road. And that would still give you two losses, but if there's only two losses in conference, you're in play. Last season went 5-3 and finished second in the East, so 6-2 can get it done. I think, you know, with this kind of year, I do think the East is wide open. We've mentioned that before. I think you agreed with me that Georgia is the front runner in everybody's mind, but I do think most people have us pegged right behind them. I think Missouri's right there as well. We've gone over that ad nauseum, but that's pretty much where I want to leave it today. I think the keys to this season is what I just outlined. We've already talked about the key players, so the keys to this season simply are beat Georgia if you can. But if you can't beat Georgia, then you need to take care of Missouri and A&M at home, and obviously Tennessee, because you need to hold serve in most of these SEC road games, or home games, I should say. And on the road, we need to win three or four. It's that simple. And I would hope that we can beat Vandy and Kentucky. If you drop the game at Florida, I don't think it kills your season. But hopefully we get to the game at Ole Miss in Oxford and Gainesville against the Gators. We get to those games where we're heading into those and we're still in contention. That's to me, is the best-case scenario for us right now. Just be in contention, man, and that'll make everybody happy. Guys, I'm glad you're listening, and we've gotten some feedback from some people. And, you know, we just kind of threw this episode out there, and I know I've stumbled upon my words and messed up some things here and there, but this was just a spur-of-the-moment thing just to get us to next week, where we will be previewing the game against the Chanticleers of Coastal Carolina. And I'm looking forward to college football in general, the NFL preseason. I haven't really been paying too much attention to that. That third game is usually where you see the starters go a little bit more. So we're coming up on that next week or this weekend, I believe. So we'll see a little bit more where they're going. That's got nothing to do with this. College football doesn't have a preseason. It's what makes it unique. People give a lot of people on the West Coast and whatnot, they'll give the Southern teams hell for playing these tiny schools and whatnot. But you know what? These teams sometimes are very talented. Coastal is coming off a bad year, but this is the kind of game I'd rather play the Chanticleers that play a more traditional style of offense than I'd play Wofford or Citadel. That's just my opinion. I don't want to play an option team ever again. I think that just if you're going to do it the opening week, you know?
Yeah.
Don't do it before you play Clemson or do it before, you know, in the middle of the year. That's awful, and I don't want to see it anymore. It's hard to game plan for it. But here I do feel optimistic about the game against the Chanticleers. I haven't heard anything bad. We don't have any real big injuries right now. We're healthy. I think we're ready to go. I know that the guys are already looking ahead to that Georgia game. They've got it circled. I know they do. I wish they wouldn't, but you can't tell a young man how to think or feel whenever he, you know, it's emotion. They put their heart and soul into this for us, and they go out there and put their bodies on the line to entertain us, man, and to get to that next level. That's what it's all about. So, you know, let's just pull for the Gamecocks and hope for the best. I think this is definitely, and this is going to sound bad, I think this is definitely a 7 or 8 win ball team, but we could do a lot more. I think that's the floor. I honestly do. As long as Jake stays healthy, we're relatively healthy. I think that is the floor. I think we're back at that level now to where we're a winning football team. I think so. I want to believe it. I think Muschamp was a great hire. I think the staff he's put together is awesome. I think the group of guys we have want to win and want to play hard and go out there and wear the garnet and black with pride and do us, you know, do us all a service by laying their bodies on the line, like I said. So this could be a magical season. I hope it is. But if it's not, it's not. And we're all going to be here pulling for them next year, no matter what happens this year, I'm sure. So thanks for listening to us. This is Cock of the Walk podcast. We're going to bring you, like I said again, the preview for the Coastal game next week. And then there on forward, we're going to go into the recaps of each week, and then at the end of those episodes, preview the next game. So I look forward to bringing you some more content. I hope Taylor in the future, I know Taylor's going to be a lot more talkative in the future. These episodes aren't quite his forte. He doesn't delve into it as much as I do, but he keeps up with it and he watches it. And we're going to bring you some more content going forward. And thanks for listening. This has been a production of Win or Die Sports. This is your host, Wesley Burris and Taylor Griggs. And check us out next week when we get the previews going and get ready for the big game. I'm excited, man. I really am. Thanks a lot.